In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a meeting today after church. There's a meeting because we, the brothers and sisters in Christ, St. Peter's, are understandably concerned. Concerned about finances, concerned about people who are not here, concerned about a congregation aging, concerned about souls, concerned about the future and the days ahead. We are understandably concerned. What do the scriptures teach us? Do you know what the scriptures teach us? The scriptures teach us to pray, to bring the concern to the Lord. Not to pray as a last resort when every other option has been exhausted, but Scripture teaches that prayer is the first resort, the first thing we are to do. We are to lay the concern before the Lord first and foremost. Thus, if we, the brothers and sisters in Christ of St. Peter's, are concerned about the future of our congregation, Scripture calls us first to pray, both as a congregation and as individuals in the congregation. But Scripture doesn't just tell us to pray when there's a concern. Today, Scripture directs us in how to pray for that concern. Do you know how we as a congregation, how we as individuals in this congregation are called to pray who are understandably concerned about the future? Well, the answer is in today's gospel. To pray how? To pray like that Canaanite woman. To pray like that Canaanite woman. This Canaanite woman, you might remember, she had a huge concern. She was concerned about her own daughter who was oppressed by a demon. We are called to pray just like that Canaanite woman. But you recall how this Canaanite woman prayed? She prayed without any hesitation at all. No hesitation. She wouldn't give up. What makes this all the more impressive is when you consider how the Lord Jesus was treating her. Do you remember? It wasn't very nice. I mean, this Canaanite woman cries out to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." It's a great prayer, nothing wrong with it. And what is the response from Jesus? He does not answer her a word. Nothing. Weren't you a little surprised by Jesus' reaction? This woman is not praying for an insignificant thing here. She's a mother, a loving and heartbroken mother. She prays for her daughter. She's going to the only one who could help. She's not going to any of the other false gods that many of her neighbors run off to. She is approaching the Son of David himself. And what does Jesus do? The Bible says he did not answer her a word. She's ignored. Jesus treats her like she wasn't even there, as though he never heard her cry, as though he didn't see the desperation on her face. What would you do if you were her? Wouldn't it have some negative effect on your praying? At least, wouldn't it make you a little more hesitant to pray the next time? The amazing thing about this woman is that she still prays. And she still prays without any hesitation. She keeps on begging Jesus and crying out to him. In fact, she was crying out to him with such volume and intensity that even the disciples were getting a little annoyed with her because of her prayers. And now the disciples are even begging Jesus to do something. Send her away, for she's crying out after us. But even that doesn't move Jesus. In fact, what does he say? He just says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, I've come to save the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and she is not one of them. She is shut down again. What would you do if you were her? Wouldn't it have some negative effect on your praying? At least, wouldn't it make you a bit more hesitant to pray the next time? What is amazing is that she keeps on praying without hesitation. She kneels before the Lord, probably with tears streaming down her face. And she says again, "Lord, help me." What does Jesus say now? He says this harsh thing. "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She's called a dog because she is not an Israelite. She is not a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What would you do if you were her? Do you know what Martin Luther says? He says, if he had been treated this way, he probably would have given up. Wouldn't it have some negative effect on your praying? At least, wouldn't it make you more hesitant to pray the next time? And yet this woman is incredible. There's no hesitation in her prayers. After Jesus calls her a dog, she has one of the greatest comebacks in the Bible. And she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." In other words, she says, "Yes, I'm a dog. A dog's due, though, is all I ask. All I ask is for the crumbs under the table. A crumb is all I ask for my daughter, my little girl, please." And then instantly, just like that, Jesus says, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." Her daughter is healed right then and there. This is how we are called to pray as a congregation, as individuals, no matter what the concern. But is this how we pray? You, me. So often we have a problem, a challenge, a concern, a cross to bear, some suffering in our life, and we cry out to God. All our emotions are there. Perhaps even crying out to him, literally crying, and nothing changes. And then, when we pray the next time, we're not so sure about it. We pray hesitantly, not sure if the Lord will actually hear us, not sure if it makes any difference at all. And we might even think, "I tried. I gave it a shot. The Lord didn't listen. He didn't care. He's nowhere around for me. He's probably against me." We've thought that as individuals. And perhaps we've thought that as a congregation. Our prayers are hesitant, unsure, full of doubt and fear for you, for me. Our prayers are so unlike that Canaanite woman. And it shouldn't be, but it is. Repent of such praying. But brothers and sisters in Christ, here's what you need to know. What you need to know is this. No matter what it seems, the Lord is not against you. He's not against us. He was not against this Canaanite woman, no matter what it seemed to her and to others. The reality was, he was actually teaching her. He was actually training her. He was actually strengthening her faith. He was actually testing her. But it was all for her benefit. He was truly gracious to her, even though it didn't seem like it. But he was. And he's gracious to you. Your Lord Jesus Christ walks all the way to Calvary for you. He journeyed all the way to the loneliness and the abandonment of the cross for you. And he suffered the Heavenly Father's wrath for you. And he took the silence that your sins and mine brought as he was there on the cross. Even the times he took that we were hesitant, and yes, the times that we failed to pray the way that this Canaanite woman prayed. For you, Jesus did not stay dead. He rose from the dead, from the grave, in glorious triumph. And this is the truth. Your Lord is not against you. He is all for you. So bring him your weaknesses. Bring him the weak prayers. He is gracious to you. He forgives you. He is the Lord. Who's not against you, but he's for you. Yes, yeah, sometimes it's to test you. Sometimes it's to train you. Sometimes it's to discipline you, to teach you. But it's all for a good purpose. And it's all for you. So pray. No matter what the hardships are. No matter how difficult it is. No matter how little sense it might seem and make. Pray. If it seems the Lord is ignoring you, or acting like you're not there, or even worse, speaking as if he's against you, or as if it seems that he's roughing you up a bit, well then cling to him all the more, and admit like the Canaanite woman, you are worthy of nothing, with no claim on the Lord, but simply one like a dog who longs for a few crumbs, even just one crumb. Keep praying like the Canaanite woman, with no hesitation, with boldness and confidence, because he's not against you. He's for you. It's true. This is how we at St. Peter's get to pray with boldness and confidence for our future, for his ministry to continue in New Hamburg, for the Lord to help our financial challenges, for the Lord to bring and draw more people to his congregation, for the Lord to strengthen our faith and our zeal to serve him, and for the Lord to give us wisdom for any decisions that need to be made. If it seems the Lord's against you, and there are such times in the life of every Christian where it seems that way, don't for a minute believe that he is against you. Believe what your baptism, what holy absolution, and the Lord's Supper say. You are a child of God, a forgiven child of God, who has a heavenly Father, who has given you everything in Christ. And thus we can pray in Jesus, like the Canaanite woman, with boldness and confidence, without any hesitation, because Jesus loves you. Because he is for you, not against you. Believe it. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.